we going to go from here? This isn't a fresh vision. It's sort of renewing of the vision and tweaking it a little bit as we have better facilities and how we're going to do things. And so we started the first week and we talked about that God wants us to have a great commitment. A great church has a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission. The great commandment is to love people like Christ loved us. The great commission is to go into all the world and to share the good news with people. And so a great church has a great commitment to those two things. And so in the first message, we talked about to go caring and sharing. We're to go into your world, go into your situation, go caring and sharing. Go with a mission every morning you wake up and you go to work or you're going to school or you're going wherever. Say, Lord, make me a blessing to someone today. And be alert and aware. I'd really like to help you. What can I do for you? And just find ways of saying that over and over again, because that's what it is to be a Christian. We're to be known by our love and our caring for one another. And if you go into your world with that attitude, it sets the scene then for you to share and to tell people about the hope that's within you. And then we said the second aspect is to invite people to come and see. So we're going into the world to care for people, to share with people, but then you're inviting them to come and see. There's work together, because our theme this year is you can't do it alone. And so together we are doing things. And one of those is our Sunday morning service. We call it our community worship service. We're inviting the community to come. So in our service, we're trusting that there's mature Christians, young Christians, seekers, those that are not Christians at all, but we're inviting them to come. And our goal in this service is worship and teaching. Those are the two prime things that come out of our Sunday morning service. We want to express our love to the Lord, because as we worship the Lord, His Spirit inhabits the praises of His people. So we want people to pray and worship sincerely, heartfelt, and to express with our spirit the joy of our soul, and to be able to do that in the service. We're aware that there are people coming in, and so we try to make it contemporary and understandable. We want the service to be uplifting and life-changing and encouraging, and to share what the goodness of God is in our lives. So that's the goal of the Sunday morning service. We talked that last week. I want to go on today and talk a little bit more about where we're going to go from here. So sort of keep these things in your mind. You're going to go into your world, caring and sharing. You're going to be inviting people to come and see and experience the presence of the Lord. And then the other thing that we're doing as a church is that we're going to grow together, growing spiritually together. Now, there's an insert in your bulletin. You're welcome to take it out, fill in the sheets as we go this morning. So we want to grow together spiritually. So our first things we want to talk about is the myths regarding spiritual growth, the myths, things that are not true. And so here's the first fill-in. Spiritual growth is automatic. This is a myth. We think this is true, but it's not. Spiritual growth is automatic. The scripture says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." The Bible likens our spiritual growth to our physical growth. And he talks about us being born spiritually. We're born again. So we come alive in the Lord, but we're just like a little baby. We don't know a whole lot. A new Christian, if they haven't been raised in the church, they know very little about the Bible, very little about a lot of things. Just like a little baby's born. It's alive. It's living. But it doesn't know a lot of things, and it can't do a lot of things. And so it is in our spiritual life when we're born of the Spirit of God. But as I said last week, don't be mistaken. We're judged on the basis of life. The books of life, the Lamb's book of life is opened, and whoever's name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And a little baby can be no more alive or is no less alive than the most mature person. Once we are born again, we have the life of Christ within us, you are a Christian. But now we need to grow spiritually. And we would think, well, if I've been a Christian a few months, then I've sort of progressed. Been a Christian a year or two, I've progressed. But the Bible doesn't say it's automatic. You will not automatically grow. The case here is that the writer is saying, you ought to have been grown up, you ought to be teachers, but now you still need people to feed you milk. You're not growing. You can't even have mature food. And another place it says you're still children. And so we realize this is just a myth. Now here's the second myth. Spiritual growth is measured by what you know. Spiritual growth is measured by what you know. If someone were to come in and be able to explain every question you had, you say, well, I've always wondered about this. And they were able to expound and give you scripture verses that could quote the Bible. Just quote the verses over and over again to you. Or if you had a problem in any way and say, I got a problem with this, and they gave you an answer and you go, wow. You would say, man, that person's very mature. But that's not the case. Spiritual growth is not measured by what you know. In fact, the portion of scripture says here, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So it's not the amount of knowledge you have about God's word or about spiritual things that is determining how spiritually mature you are. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us this, that you could have all faith, that you could move mountains, you could be able to prophesy and explain all things, but if you don't have love, profits you nothing. And so don't get mistaken in the idea it's all about knowledge, because knowledge just puffs up. That's like one of the, you know, those creatures, I don't forget what they know, but when they want to scare off the enemy, they puff up. You know, just full of hot air. And sometimes maybe all we're doing is just full of hot air. We can fill the air with truths. But if we don't have love, then it really doesn't profit, because it says love edifies or builds up. It causes us to increase, to grow. Love is what's causing that to happen. Now here's the third myth. Spiritual growth is a private matter and need not involve others. You know, my spiritual growth just between me and the Lord, and I don't need anyone else to cause me to grow. This is a personal thing. You hear people say this lots of times. You know, I didn't even have to go to church. It was just, you know, it's a spiritual thing. It's just between me and the Lord. But this is a myth. This is not what the Bible tells us. In fact, I'm going to come back to this verse, but the one I'm going to use here is 1 Corinthians 14, 26, that talks about when the church comes together. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for, here's the word again, edification, to build up. To cause to grow, to increase. Now, what's happening? It's saying in a believer's service, everyone comes and does their part and gives their. Everyone comes with something a little different. But it's all working together so that we all grow up and mature. So it's very important to know that your growth is determined by your connection with other people. And so don't buy into the concept, well, this is just between me and I don't need anyone else. The more you isolate yourself from the church, the less you will grow. And I don't mean church as far as just organized structure. I'm talking about the church as people and your connection with other people. because it's in the connection with other people that we will grow. The body grows because the members are connected. The way I explain it is that growth is a function of the body. It's not a function of an individual member. If you take a member of the body and separate it from the body and lay it over here, it won't grow. The rest of the body will grow. But the one that you separate from the body won't grow. Now, I have a very vivid example of this because when I was 8 years of age, I got my finger caught in the V-belt of a motor. And it just took the end of my damage right around the end of my finger, my index finger. And it actually, the flesh turned to the side. And the doctor came and they brought it around and they sewed it back on. Not that it was ever separated completely, but they sewed it back on. Now, some of you might want to actually ask to look at my finger because I have a strange-looking finger. The tip of my finger never grew after that. The tip of my finger is still the size of an 8-year-old. But everything behind the scar grew. And it's a little strange, but I feel it, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just smaller. It didn't grow. And before you feel too bad for me, it does have some good functions. It helps you with some things. But it's a vivid reminder to me that unless you're connected to the body and in the life flow of the body, you won't grow. That's a myth, and it's one you need to overcome. You need, because it hinders many, many people. They don't want to share their life. They don't want to share their problems. They don't necessarily want to hear from anyone else. I'm just going to work this out between me and God. But that's not how God has ordered it to happen. He's ordered it that in the body we grow. And so if you separate from, and Satan loves this. You know, something happens. You get down, a little discouraged. You feel like, oh, I don't feel like going to church today. When you don't feel like going to church, that's when you should go to church. When you feel like you've been wounded a little bit or you failed, your healing is in the body. Your strength is in the body. And woe to the church who is condemning. It should just be the opposite. The safest place for a person to go when they're hurting and wounded is to the body, to the church. We're not a judgmental body, we're a healing body. We all are reaching out to help one another, and God allow that atmosphere to be here. No, or it can be on the other side. You get offended. Someone said something. Well, I'm not going back to that church anymore. I'm not going to let that, you know. And you can get into that mindset, but it's again, it's Satan's ploy to keep you from being healed, to keep you from growing. He plants those things in our hearts and our minds, and so he cripples the growth where we get like this group of people in the Bible. They ought to have been, to have grown and been more mature and be able to do more things, but they were stunted in their growth because of these things. Now let's go on and look at the realities that's the opposite of these things. So here's the first reality, that spiritual growth is dependent upon our response. Now, folks, I cannot stress this enough. Your spiritual growth does not happen automatically. It's not dependent upon your good works, your efforts, but your response, your openness, your receptivity. This is so vitally important. Now here's the verse in John 1 and 11 and 12. He came to his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now this is speaking of salvation. Jesus died on the cross and he took the sins of the whole world. The sins of the whole world. But is the whole world saved? No, because not everyone receives it. as many as receives that salvation will benefit from it. He's made it open and available to everyone, but you need to receive it. And the Bible tells us how to receive it. And that's not the intent of my message now, but I've shared that many times with you. How you receive it. If you're here and you're wondering, talk to me after, and I'll tell you how to receive. I met with a couple this week, and they were in service this morning, in the first service. And they came in, and they knew nothing, especially the gentleman, knew nothing of the gospel. And I shared with them the gospel and how to receive the gospel. And at the end I said, will you receive this? Are you willing to receive it? Not just hear it, not just have knowledge. Are you ready to apply this, receive it? They both said they did. They prayed, they cried, and it was just good to see them in the service this morning. So you have to receive it. Now that's true of salvation, but it's true of a spiritual growth. God is working all around you all the time. He is invested in your spiritual growth. He wants you to mature. He wants you to be effective. He wants you to come to your full potential. But what hinders us is not that there's not enough food, not enough teaching, not enough availability. It's that we don't respond. Now, folks, I'm telling you, this is gold, what I'm sharing with you right now. And yet many people don't realize it. They always say, oh, I wish I was like that person. I wish I had their opportunities. I wish I had this. We always wish, not realizing God has a gut plan for your life. And he wants to take you from where you are to the next step, to the next step, to the next step. And you just need to be receptive. What keeps us from being receptive is a hard heart. And the Bible warns against the hard heart. In fact, Jesus gave a parable about seed falling on a hard wayside soil. And it just lays on the surface. It never penetrates. Then the birds come and take the seed. And he says, the soil is your heart. It's someone who hears the word, but he doesn't understand it. He doesn't apply it. And so it's so important that you're open and receptive to the word of God. And whenever you feel it, that you act on it. Initial obedience, instant obedience to the initial promptings of God's Spirit. Now that's the key. That's the key of spiritual growth. Instant obedience to the initial promptings of God's Spirit. Don't put it off. Don't question it. Don't argue with God. Don't put your ideas up against God. Just instant, you will grow leaps and bounds. He'll show himself in such real, exciting ways to you. He's just looking for soft hearts, good soil, that the seed can penetrate, then it brings forth much fruit. So this is important for us to understand. Now, let's read some of the verses around this. The next verse, under this category, John 13:20. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. Now this is a very important thing. Many times we don't hear God's word and it doesn't penetrate our life because it's coming through a human person, a human instrumentality. God sent someone to you. But because it's not God's voice, I'm not hearing it directly, someone else is telling me, I don't receive it. And he says, if you don't receive that, then you don't receive me. You're not getting the benefit of it. So you have to realize God speaks to us and leads us through other people. And if you're not open to that, your spiritual growth will be stunted. You have to be open to hear what God will say to you through other people. Now, here's the complicating fact of this. He uses people that are not perfect, that have flaws. So someone comes to you and speaks to you, but you say, well, who are you to talk? Look at your problems. Look at your situation. Don't come tell me. Who do you think you are? I mean, you may not say it outwardly, but in our thinking. So we shut off what God is saying to us because we won't receive the person that's sent to give it to us. You know what? You need to be so open that when anyone speaks to you, you're saying in your own heart, and later as you reflect on it, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me through that? Yeah, I know that might have been exaggerated a little bit what they said there, and maybe they misjudged me, but Lord, is there anything that you want to say to me in that? That's a soft heart. And then God will speak. I've had people speak to me through situations that I would have outwardly think, that can't be God. And yet God spoke to me through that. Because he uses humans. And humans are imperfect. Again, folks, I'm telling you, this is what keeps people from growing. I mean, no one just says, oh, I don't want to grow. I don't care about spiritual things. I mean, if you're a Christian, I think you do. You want to grow. But we don't realize the things that hinder it. And so we're not connected. We're not hearing someone else speak. It is dependent upon your response, what you do with it. And so always just be open. Now, someone might say, well, I don't hear God ever speak to me. I don't hear anything like that. But the thing is, then whenever you feel the slightest prompting that could be the Lord, and you say, well, I'm pretty sure that the devil wouldn't tell me that, and I don't think I'd ever come up with that, must be the Lord. Then obey it instantly. Act on it instantly. The fact of that moving and responding sharpens your spiritual perceptions. So the next time you're a little more aware, a little more sensitive, I'm telling you, what I'm sharing with you now, these are keys that you need to hold on to. These are not light things I'm sharing. They can be, I know that. But are we doing it? See, here's the thing. I don't want to just share information this morning. I want your hearts to be open to hear this word. So that you ask, if the Lord was to judge me, whether write something to me about my spiritual growth, would he be happy with it? Or would he point out the areas where maybe I haven't grown, where I've plateaued? I'm not growing in that area. You might be growing in some areas, but not in that area. See, it's important that you have a response of heart, and that you, even if this message, pray before the Lord and say, well, what was in that message for me? What did I need to respond to in that message that would help me? So here's the next reality. Spiritual growth is measured by your character. We said it's not measured by your knowledge, but it is measured by your character. I love this verse, Galatians 1, verses 15 and 16. And it says this. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. Paul said, when I was born and separated from my mother's womb, God had a purpose for me. He wanted to reveal his son in me. So if anyone's wondering what the will of God is for your life, let me tell you right now. I know what God's... The moment you were born, separated from your mother's womb, here was God's purpose. To reveal his son in you. He wanted you to be like Christ. He wanted you to act like Jesus, love like Jesus, have compassion like Jesus. He wanted you to be filled with the mind of Christ. So you want to gauge your spiritual growth? How much are you like Jesus? Your character, how you live. That determines your spiritual growth. It's not by what you do, what spiritual gifts we've already mentioned, that you can exercise. No, it's how much you're like Christ. That's the important thing. Goes on in 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, but also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So the progression is a growth in character, in Christ-like attributes. So that's how we're gauged. Now, how do we grow? Well, he tells the process here. He's adding things to us as we go. So here you are as a Christian, and maybe you say, Lord, I want to grow. I want to be more loving. I want to be more kind. So you think that God is just going to sort of reach down from heaven and give you a little bit more love and a little bit more kindness. Because we want to shine for God. We want to be polished. We want to shine for God. But that's not how God works. You know what he does? He puts you next to an abrasive Christian who just rubs you the wrong way. It just irks you how they talk. Why is he doing that? Because he's answering your prayer. He wants you to be more, you want to be more loving. You want to be more kind. You want to be more patient. So he puts you in situations where you run out of your normal patience. And now you've got to draw on God's patience. See, where he's working it all together. So you got to change your attitude and your thinking. Because if you get a focus on self, folks, you won't grow. You'll go through a situation and the whole thing is, wow, I don't know why they treated me like that. I don't know why they said that. I don't know why they did that. And I'm not going to put up with that anymore. And you get bitter and you get resentful. And the very opposite happens. And so God's going, ah, guess I'm going to have to put them through that again. You know, you leave one job because your boss is so horrible, and you get to the next job, and hey, he seems to be worse here, or she seems to be worse. Just realize it's not about you. It's about him. He's working something in us. And even in this list, it says you go through perseverance. Well, what's perseverance? That's when you got to persevere through something that's not good. That's why it says love is long-suffering and love is kind and love is bears the best and hopes the best. See, you got to just hope the best about people and think the best about people and just refuse to be offended. Offense is the things that keep us like children. Jesus suffered wrong. He took the sins of the whole world. He bore it so that we could be saved. And we're to walk in his footsteps. We're to be Christ-like. You can't be Christ-like unless you're willing to take up your cross and follow him. We use this statement. What does it mean? They said, we want to follow you. We want to be like you, Jesus. He said, well, you're going to have to take up your cross daily. Lay down your life daily. It's not about you. It's not about your wishes. It's not about your concerns. You need to live your life for others and serve and get excited about helping other people, letting the flow of God's love flow through you. That's why you suffer wrong and you overlook things and you let things go and you don't turn it in your mind and get more and more upset because how someone mistreated you. This is good this morning. This is right where we're living. This is right at the growing edge. This is the growing edge of your life where it's rubbing into yourself. And you got to draw on more of Christ's life and you replace his responses for your natural responses. When you do that, you are growing. And so we don't reject tribulation and hurtful things. We actually rejoice in it. Paul said, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works patience and patience character. Character comes out of having to be patient in situations, persevering through situations when it's not happening the way you think it should happen. So just know this is part of spiritual growth. So offense or frustration, uncertainty in your life, coming to the end of your love, You're right on the growing edge. So rather than getting down about that, oh, I don't know why that had to happen to me today. You go and you say, wow, I'm going to grow today. I have the possibility if I respond right. See, God is not concerned about the things you go through. He's concerned about your response to the things you go through. It's your response that determines what you're going through. And so these are tremendous truths. These are truths of spiritual growth. Okay, let's go on to the last one in this three. Spiritual growth occurs in committed relationships with others. So it's not a private matter. It happens through committed relationships. Now notice how this words it here in Ephesians 4, verse 14. That we should no longer be children. So, okay, we don't want to be children, we want to grow up. That we should no longer be children, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. What does it do? It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So here's how it's laid out. It happens in the body. There is a supply through the joint. Now, a joint is, here's your next feeling, a joint is our relationship with each other. Joint, our relationship with each other. Two members come together. There's an elbow joint. Where this member joins this member. The knee is where one member, the hip, where one member joins another member. It's a joint. Are you joined to the body? Well, I attend on Sunday. Well, that doesn't join you. Put you in proximity. This is heart-to-heart connections. Not body-to-body connections. The body is the spiritual body of Christ is a heart-to-heart connections. You're connected when you carry someone else's heart in your heart. There's a spiritual flow. Every joint supplies. The life flows through the joints from one member to the other. Starts with the head, flows through the body. I really feel some of you, this is new to you. I mean, you might even heard it, but I hope the reality sinks in. You're not a member because you take out membership in the church. You're not a member because you come faithfully every Sunday. You really only become a spiritual member when your heart is joined with someone else's heart. Now, not every member is joined with every other member. There are all kinds of joints in the body. And you need to join with a few others. That there's a life flow through. And you cultivate that relationship. And you pray for one another. And you encourage one another. And there's just a flow of life back and forth. God wants you to have that. That's going to help you to grow. And don't be satisfied till you have it. Now, how do you get it? Your response. Not too long ago, someone was telling me about they didn't feel like they fit in with the church. So we don't feel connected. And then they immediately said, I didn't even have to say it, well, we're not too friendly ourselves. We don't stay after service. We don't really get involved in anything. You know, they came to the service, but they never really connected. But part of it is our responsibility to connect and pray and say, God, let me connect. And there are opportunities, and this is what the church is to do, to give opportunities where people can join, where they can be close enough, we can connect with one another. And I'll talk about that in a moment. Here's the next, a ligament. It's about Colossians, that we're joined together by ligaments. What is a ligament? A ligament is the tendon that joins two members. What holds the bones together is a ligament. It's there to hold the joint together. I would suggest to you the ligament is our commitment to each other. You see, a joint can be pulled apart. In fact, someone can get out a joint. You ever get out a joint? Get your nose out of joint? Someone's offended you, something happened. What's going to keep you there? The ligaments, the commitment that I'm here. I'm part of this body. I'm committed to the church. If you look, you can see all kinds of flaws in the church. Everybody, except me, well, I guess even me, have flaws, character flaws. And you can see it. It's easy to see it in other people. Very hard to see it in yourself. But you can spot. Yeah, they need a little growth there. We all have character flaws. But we need to commit to one another. Say, this is the church. This is how he's working it out. And it's how I deal with people that are offending me and hurting me. That's how I'm going to grow. That's part of the church. And we're growing up together, being more like Christ, being more forgiving. You know, because forgiveness is really the oil of all this. Forgiving everybody all the time for everything before they ask and before they change. Now, that's an attitude of forgiveness. Forgiving everybody all the time for everything before they ask, before they change. An attitude of forgiveness needs to flow through the church. That's how Jesus forgave. And we're to forgive as Jesus forgave. So the commitment is we're in this together. We're going to hang together. We're going to work through this together. Now, what causes problems is that we have muscle. And muscle is our strength or talent. Now, in this arm, I have a bicep. And the bicep, when it pulls my arm up. There's a muscle on the bottom side, the tricep, and when it contracts, it pulls the arm down. So the bicep, the tricep, but they work in opposition to one another. They pull in opposite directions. And we get to thinking, because we see someone that doesn't just think the way we think or doesn't do it the way we do it, that there's something wrong. We should all pull in the same direction. Now, there's a truth to that, but if you follow my analogy of the muscle, if we all pulled like this, then it would be paralysis. Flexibility and movement comes because of the interaction, and as one pulls, the other relaxes. The give and take in a joint is what causes flexibility and for us to feed each other, or feed ourselves. Bicep up, tricep down to the bowl, tricep up, you know. So it is in the body. Now, if there's no ligaments, muscles will pull that joint apart. But ligaments hold it together. And muscles learn, because the head is directing, when to relax, when to tighten. And so it is in the body of Christ. We need to learn to get along with one another. We need to learn to hear Christ's voice. We need to follow delegated authority that Christ has put in the church. And as such, we have the give and take of relationships, and we will grow and be what God wants us to be. Here's the key understanding. The leadership of the church and the activities of the church should help the members of the church to grow spiritually and accomplish their ministry. So, leaders of the church and the activities, the things we do together, should cause us to grow spiritually and for us to do the things that God wants us to do. Now, that's the overall goal, and it comes from the verse that follows, Ephesians 4:11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Christ wants to grow up in us. And so why are there apostles and prophets, pastors and teachers? They're to help every member to grow, to contribute their gift, and be able to be more proficient in exercising their gift. And there's things we do together. The body can do things together that an individual can't do alone. It's only when the body works together that we can do things. If I want to move the Bible over onto that table, it's a work of the whole body. The hand's involved, but the hand can't do it alone because the hand can't reach it. So the feet have to take the hand. The eyes have to see you're approaching. It's got to reach down, and those fingers have to work together to hold the Bible. Then my feet have to start moving, and the inner ear has to bring balance. Till I move over and I put the Bible down here. I've accomplished something. It involved the eyes, the inner ear, the feet, all coordinated by the head. Do you see, this is really how the body should work. We're working together. You're not in it alone. You need the church. You need people. You need to be connected to the church. And it's not, I'm not just talking about, you know, the structure of the church. I'm talking about the reality of people. People and joining your heart with other people. And you're committed. You're there. You're growing. You're contributing your part so that the whole body's growing. And we're doing the work of God. And pastors and leaders are put in the church to help us to achieve that. So we have structures and activities in the church that we're trying to get people to do this. And part of that is our class program. Class 101, 201, 301, 401. And in these classes, it's the first class is how do you become a member of the body of Christ? And what does that mean to be a member? And then the second class, the 201 class, is how do I mature? And we've talked, like some of the things I'm sharing here, I share in that class. How do you grow? How do you become mature? The 301 class is how do you find your gifting? What's your shape? S-H-A-P-E. Your S is your spiritual gift. H is your heart's passion. A is your abilities. P is your personality. E is your experiences. Those five things work together to show the shape that God made you. And so you have a place to play in the body of Christ and to function in the world. So as a church, we want to help you find what that is and encourage you to be that. Now, we, because of the last year and all the things that's happened, we have not done the classes as much as we should or would have liked to. But it's not that we're not working on it. All those classes are now recorded. And they're on DVDs. And we've broken each class into 3 one-hour sessions. So the goal, and we haven't worked out all the details, but the goal is that on Sunday mornings in the room, the seminar room that's just off the foyer, we're equipping it with all kinds of like sound equipment and video screens and so forth, so that people could take that class during one of the services, an hour class during the service, and then attend the other service as far as worshiping. And week after week, we just, because it's all recorded, we'll just play it. And we'll go through the 101, the 201, 301. People won't have to wait. They can start anytime. And so that's the goal. See, why are we doing that activity? So that we can equip people to be what they are meant to be. We can encourage people to be all and to build relationships. So that's one of the things. So why we have our class structure is to help us to be all that God wants us to be. Now, the other thing is our Wednesday Believer Service. On Wednesdays, we meet and hear, and it's a different kind of service. It's a believer service. The structure is different than Sunday morning. Sunday morning is teaching and worship, and Wednesday, it has a different function. It's for believers. It's for us to grow. So in that service, it's designed for believers. This is your fill-ins on your sheet. It's designed for believers. It's for fellowship. You get to know one another. We talk back and forth. There's a time of sharing. People share experiences and things that happen. It makes us all excited when we hear an answer or prayer or someone says, this is what happened to me. Because I remember I said, go into your world caring and sharing. Wednesday night, people come back and talk about what happened in their world and how I cared and I shared and this God did this. And then we bathe it in prayer, praying for one another. And all this is happening on a Wednesday. There's exhortation back and forth, and many times I'll give a word on something, but it's exhorting coming out of our relationship, and it's age appropriate. We have the kids downstairs for Pioneer Club, and the adults are upstairs. So you say, I'm saying, why are we doing the things we do? What are the activities of the church? Where do we go from here? We want to see people equipped. That's why it's important not just to come to the Sunday morning, but avail yourself of the Wednesday night and other small groups that are working and forming. It's all to do the same thing, to build fellowship and relationship so that you get to know someone. They carry you in their heart and you carry them in your heart. And so we're growing together and growing up together. And that's the verse that we started with earlier when it says, when you come together, each of you have a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done to edify, to build up. So in the Wednesday night believer service, there's an interaction. Everyone's coming to contribute. And that's the structure of the Wednesday night, which is different than the structure of the Sunday. And it's the strategies that we want to have so that we can grow and be all that God wants us to be. Here's the final goal, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we come together, gaze at the presence of the Lord and the face of the Lord, see His face in one another, contributing our gifts to one another, we're going to grow up. We're going to be more like Christ. Then we're going to go into the world, caring and sharing, built up. Then we're going to invite people to come and see. And all of these things are working together so we can be effective. See, we said you can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. So we're all contributing our part to the whole so that God's kingdom is built. Would you stand with me this morning? I'd like to pray in conclusion for two things. The first thing is I want you to pray that your heart would be responsive, because that determines your spiritual growth. Will you respond to what God is saying to you? Will you respond to what God is saying through other people to you? And really look at your heart and say, you know what? Maybe I don't as much as I should. And if in this prayer we can just ask God to give us a soft, responsive heart. And then the second thing is just as key, the commitment to one another, the commitment to the body of Christ. Because it's in the body of Christ we're healed. It's in the body of Christ we grow. It's through our relationships with one another that we're no longer a lone ranger. I'm not a lone ranger spiritually. No, I'm going to work in the body. I'm working in the church. I'm submitting to authority. I'm letting God speak to me through people that are imperfect. And you're growing. And we're going to be all that God wants us to be. So would you pray with me to that end? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We really believe that these are key elements. And Lord, we pray first for a soft heart, that none of us, even unaware, would harden our heart to what you're saying to us. But that we would hear your voice clearly. And Lord, that we would respond quickly. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give us a commitment and value the body of Christ, the church, so that we're connecting with other members, so that we can give our part and receive back, so that we would grow and bring glory to you. I pray this for myself. I pray this for this entire assembly this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been good today. We're going to dismiss you. If you'd like prayer, by all means, come up. There's here people that will pray with you and would love to have that opportunity. Otherwise, go in the name of the Lord. You're dismissed.